Our scripture today comes from the book of Psalms. This is the 24th psalm attributed to David. It's capturing a specific moment when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into the holy city. And this psalm was penned by David as a way to express how the city should be, the preparations that needed to be in order for God's word to come in. And this is what he wrote in this song. Every psalm is a song, and this is what David wrote. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of God, the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today is starting a series looking at different doors that open us to God and by which also God opens God's self to us. And this will carry us throughout the fall. We're going to kind of be bouncing all around different scriptural passages to explore these different doors. And we begin today in this time of September as we're feeling summer, perhaps more than we did in the summer, giving thanks for a beautiful sunrise and a glorious day ahead and the beginning of color starting to show in the trees and giving praise to God. We gather together to give that praise. And it's an opportunity for us not only in our gathering but in our going forth in this week ahead that we might share with others these doors that God opens to us, be it in the natural beauty of the world or be it in God's house, the church set aside, that there are others that perhaps have had closed doors in their lives and they're looking for something. And we have an opportunity to share with them that they can come and explore these open doors with us this fall. We printed 50 of these, and I thought, 1 week, no problem, 50 will be gone. There are over 25 left. And so I ask you again, make these disappear. Put these in the hands of someone else who is looking for an open door this fall. Or if you need the gentle reminder yourself to come to worship and to listen about these different doors to God's heart, and the way our hearts also need to be open to God, then take one and put it on your refrigerator or wherever is most obvious to you, on the mirror in your bathroom. It's a bright color to remind you. And if you give it to somebody else, don't only invite them. Tell them you'll pick them up. And you'll take them out to lunch when all is said and done. You know, too often we all become used to the doors of our homes, right? We step through them and over the threshold. And the same can be said for our houses of worship and our places of work. At one time, they were all new. At one time, we opened those doors for the very first time. Perhaps when we finally signed the papers to purchase our home, signed over our life and mortgage, and went with the keys in our hands that were finally ours, and we opened that door for the very first time saying, "This is my home. This is our home." And soon it just becomes practice. We don't think about the doors and the thresholds and the life that begins as we open those doors. Same can be said for our places of worship. There was a time when walking through the door was a new experience. We had to figure out which door to go in. Which one's the front door? Which one do I go in for worship? When we went in, we observed perhaps that the door stuck or didn't stick, that it was a glass door and we could see beyond it, or there was a person on the other side to welcome us. Pretty soon, we just come and open the door and don't think about it anymore. We don't think about the door or the threshold or the welcome of the person. We take for granted the doors of grace and them being opened wide to us. And so we're taking this time to think critically through the fall about our hearts and our lives, about the doors that have been closed and the doors that have been opened to us, and how our lives reflect or fail to reflect sometimes the door of God's grace open to us in forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Today we're going to look at the door of praise. The book of Psalms full of songs of praise. It's one of the things that we particularly do when we gather for worship, as we gather together to praise, to lift our voices up. There's this contemporary Christmas movie which has quickly become a classic. The movie's called Elf. How many of you have seen Elf? Yeah, many of you have. The lead character, his name is Buddy, and he learns in elf school that the best way to spread Christmas cheer, how many of you can finish this?
By singing loud.
Caitlin knows it. By singing loud for all to hear. This is what Buddy learns in elf school. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. Buddy shares this teaching with others he comes into contact with as he ventures around New York City, introduces himself to his biological father and family, and it's this teaching that essentially becomes what saves Christmas in that film. To sing, the best way to spread Christmas cheers, to sing loud for all to hear. I think that this really is borrowed from our own heritage, which recognizes that the best way to spread Christian cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. There are so many that have sought to capture in song this incredible reality of recognizing God's saving grace and forgiveness for sins in Jesus Christ and encouragement through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to grow and become the people God knows us to be, that have sought to spread Christian cheer by pinning words to songs that all may sing loud for others to hear. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. O Lord, my God, an awesome wonder. How great thou art. There's a song, How Can I Keep From Singing? How can I keep? How can I stop myself from singing? A few weeks ago, I talked here of potluck mysteries and the deep tie of food and fellowship with the people called Methodists, United Methodists, but an even more distinguishing feature is that of our hymnody, our singing. One of the ways you can tell those who have been connected with or impacted by a United Methodist community is their singing. You go to a funeral in a Catholic church, not to put down our Catholic brethren and sisters, but you go there for a funeral, and guess who sings? The Methodists sing loud. The Catholics turn around wondering where the voices are coming from. To communicate and share the faith, Methodists put it to music. The best way to spread Christian cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. Read through any number of classic or contemporary hymns and you have a primer on the basics of faith, a catechism. Methodists also led the charge through the Sunday school movement to provide basic education in reading, writing, and arithmetic. It was the sharing of the faith set to music, though, that helped to define and grow what became known as the Methodist movement. It is what caught fire among the people. Just think for a minute of the impact of that song that is repeated ad nauseum on the radio. Gets stuck in your head, doesn't it? And even when you don't want it to, you find yourself humming it and singing the words to it later in the week, and you think, can't I just get this thing out? Or the hymn played or sung at church on any number of mornings, that we find ourselves walking into our week whistling and humming and singing a piece, a refrain of it, coming back to us again and again. The best way to spread Christian cheer, to open to the door of God's heart and open our heart to God's grace, is to sing loud for all to hear. Our scripture today is attributed to David, coming from a time when the sense of the presence of God and the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into the city. It's an expression of praise, particularly the last part of the psalm, praise to a God that never forgets us, even when we feel forgotten, that has journeyed with us, is there to guide and lead, and seeks to enter into the center of our lives. It's a psalm that, while literally speaking of a particular city, of a geography, for me figuratively speaks of the heart, of how God has thrown wide the gates of God's heart in Christ and seeks, if we want to be connected to God and God's grace, to lift up the gates of our hearts and to throw wide open the doors. Think about the psalm which appears, precedes this one, the 23rd psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I bet you can say it along with me. How many of us have been in memorial occasions? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before mine enemies, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We hear it in memorial occasions, but that is a psalm of praise. God is good. All the time, and all the time. God is there all the time, and all the time God is there. David praises and dances, there's more to that story another time, as an exclamation not just to this moment of the entry of an object, but as an expression of the boundless grace of God which enters and follows all the days of life, which should draw forth, even in the hardest of times, a cold and broken hallelujah, as Leonard Cohen wrote. But there's an expectation of being ready to praise God, to worship, to be in God's presence. That's the first part of the psalm. David, as he wrote, was concerned with who was worthy to bring the ark into the city, or who was worthy to open the gates, or who would stand before the ark in the holy place. Every major world religion has this idea of being at our best when we come into the presence of holiness, and from which we derive an idea, perhaps passe now, of putting on your Sunday best. Does anybody remember that expression? Putting on your Sunday best was an outward way, an outward appearance of saying that we wanted to make our heart and life align with the best that God knows and knew of us, knew that is capable within us. It was a desire to praise God outwardly in word and appearance for what one knew inwardly, for the forgiveness that we fail to achieve our best, which God knows of us, but we strive toward in our life. And so as we come to praise, we're concerned with our approach to this one who is creator and redeemer and sanctifier, who calls us each by name, is as close as our own breath, and who knows us better than anyone knows us. So we're to take personal responsibility to arrive ready and prepared for worship. It means we have to become intentional about developing an intimate relationship with God, and that begins with our commitment to worship God outside of Sunday morning. God's desire is to be near to us, and while the praise team can lead us in song and inspire us musically, and Sally can pray incredibly, and an occasional message might reach us memorably, no one is going to improve our worship other than us. Our readiness, the praise of our hearts, it's not going to be a bad song choice. Or it's not going to be a flat voice near us. Or it's not going to be a sermon that felt more like noise rather than proclamation. It's our hearts. And while this time is set apart for the express purpose of worship, of hearing God's word to us for this day, we can't show up here on Sunday morning and only then start worshiping, start praising. If we do, our worship doesn't reach its full potential. We have to take time to spend some time with God before now. The reality is that very few of us have extra time on our hands. Anybody got some time they can share with me? Yes. See, you do? Great. I'll be glad to give you some of my stuff if I can have some of your extra time. But our tendency is, if we're going to step up and spend time with God, worshiping God, developing our relationship with God, is to try to squeeze God into the corners of our lives. And that doesn't cut it. We can't just keep adding things into our life. We've got to choose and prioritize. In other words, we're going to have to sometimes give other things up. If we don't spend time with God or anyone else, we will never develop that relationship. We can't just come and spend time with God for 1 hour on Sunday morning and expect that it's going to develop a life of gratitude and thankfulness and praise. It has to be more than that. If this is the only time we hear God's word, if this is the only time we pray, if this is the only time we sing praise to God, if this is the only time we worship, then we're in trouble. If we want to get closer to God, then we've got to put God in the center, we've got to open the gate, and be salt and light in the world, and have our life be an offering for God, which impacts not only the lives of others, but their eternal destiny. And that means we need to start spending time to worship God daily. Our lives must become praise, must become worship. It's praise and worship which draw us closer to God and God closer to us. And it's different for all of us. Some of us do it in the car. We sing out loud. Some of us do it in the shower. Some of us do it right before we nod off and slumber. Some of us set apart particular time in the morning and around meals. But we must find time continually to praise God, to return thanks, to open wide the door to God's saving love in Christ Jesus, and see then the life that unfolds from that. To be filled with wonder and awe that we are so loved. To see that the very rhythm of our lives is to give glory to God, to praise to God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the change in our lives when we focus time and again throughout each day on what we have, on the blessings rather than on what we have not? Can you imagine beginning each day in thankfulness and praise for the day ahead and how that can change the character of that day? To open the doors of each morning in that way? Can you imagine closing each day in the same way? Praise for the day that has been, the hopes for what can be in the days ahead. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. How can we stop from singing? Praise that sets our week in the right place. Music and praise that sends us marching out in mission, setting the tempo, providing the pitch. Praise that provides us the very message of salvation. We reach out in voice and hand, lives as hymns of praise. Doors open wide with songs we sing now, touching and inspiring us that they might become reflected in us. Praise that repeats the message of God's love for us in Jesus Christ and the continued presence of the Lord in the Holy Spirit. What is our praise calling us to hear and to do and to be and to remember? It's time for us to recover those Methodist roots. that Wesleyan heritage, and establishing our call and seeking to go out in mission, to let our lives be centered in praise and to set it to music, can stir the soul and reach into our very cores, cause that response of the hair standing up on our backs, that overwhelming sense of the Spirit's presence. Praise, how we begin worship, how we end worship. Praise through which we respond to God's word. Imagine a life composed of praise. Imagine the impact on others when that praise pours forth in our outlook and attitude, in who we are because of whose we are. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 1,000 tongues singing our great Redeemer's praise? Can you imagine 1,000 people responding in praise? Can you imagine how that could spread to another 1,000 and another 1,000 as we all took the message of God's love out in the praise of our lives? The best way to spread Christian cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. Well, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around warm up to its glowing. To open the door of praise, to open the door of grace. Praise God and Son and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring the sacrifice of praise into this, your house. And we offer up to you our sacrifices of thanksgiving. And there is much which we are thankful for. We are thankful for the open doors of grace that we might enter into your glory in Christ. We are thankful that you know the very best of us, what we are truly capable of, the possibilities of a world which lives and abides in praise. How sweet the sound. But we recognize how short we fall, that time and again we push our praise and worship to just a single hour, that we push our connection with you and to you into the corner of our lives, focusing not on the blessings of our lives, but on the lacking in our lives. We find praise and thanksgiving a struggle to reach our lips, shutting the gates of our hearts and minds to you. We read and listen and watch news of death and destruction, hear of the despondence of many, are overwhelmed by the injustice, and wonder where you are, ponder over whether praise is a delusion. And yet through it all, you are there. Through it all, you are here. Help us to begin to shape our lives to be lives of praise. Hymns of praise sung and lived loud for all to hear. For as we come to spend more time with you, more time in praise, it will open the doors in us to the possibilities of a fuller life. A life guided by the Holy Spirit in response to your grace in Christ Jesus. And so we say this day, thank you. We praise you in our heads, in our hearts, with our hands. Help us to open wider and wider the door of our lives to you. Amen.